This episode was filmed in front of a live audience at twitch.tv/HowWeRollPodcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of How We Roll Podcast.
Hi.
We're an RPG-based podcast, and we focus on Call of Cthulhu, some Dungeons & Dragons, and occasionally one-off campaigns.
Interesting.
If you're interested in contacting us and want to know where you can find our podcasts, you can visit HowWeRollPodcast.com.
Fancy.
Which offers links to Twitter, Facebook, iTunes, SoundCloud, Reddit, and Twitch.
What?
If you enjoy what we do and want to support us, you can donate to us on Patreon. And with that said, let's get on with the show.
Yes, please, please just get on with the show. Yes.
So, let me get this straight, Oz. You're saying you are Bartholomew Ormond?
Yes, that is correct.
You don't look like Bartholomew Ormond, and that's too fucking weird a name for there to be two of you.
Actually, when you do look at him, he could be Bartholomew Ormond, maybe 20 years before. Like, I mean, Bartholomew's in his 40s, Oz is in his early 20s. There's a similarity.
This is fucking weird. Spencer, what do you think?
Come over here, stand by the light, and I kind of, like, bring up my lighter and like, bring it just in front of his face, and, like... Not that close, goddamn.
A roll for accuracy.
And, like, I inspect his face and go, yeah, there's something about that face. You related or something, or...?
No, I am Bartholomew Ormond. There's no one in my family who's ever had that name.
No, that can't be. I know Bartholomew. You can't be.
Well, I promise you I am he.
Hey, well, for one thing, you're about 20 years too young and about, you know, half a mile too handsome. I mean, Bartholomew, bless him, had a bit of a punch, you know, a little bit of white hair, never took care of himself, no good.
At that moment, the flickering firelight from the distance sort of catches the window and shines across Oz's face and gives him quite a sinister look. And then from the distance, there's a flash of lightning, a peal of thunder, and then you think you hear the scream again.
Right, Anders, might be time to divide... Not Anders, sorry.
You're Anders.
Spencer! Spencer, might be time to divide and conquer. I'm going to get to the bottom of this. I'm going to take this Oz character. And we're going to go find Bart, the one we came to visit. And we're going to sort this out.
You going to be okay on your own, Anders?
Hey! Who are you talking to? It's me!
Exactly.
Screw you.
Guys, I think I'll just stay here and read this file and see if I can find out more about this, the other Bartholomew Ormond.
What do you mean the real? I am the real. Am I not flesh and blood? Do I not exist?
You're going to break into Shakespeare. I'm leaving.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm sort of having a bit of a breakdown because I feel like they're looking for me, but they don't believe that I'm me. And so I'm having an identity crisis. And yeah. Just foreshadowing that a little bit before I go on absolute batshit crazy.
Okay. Johnny Huck, what are you going to do?
I'm going to continue just reading and researching this document. That's why I came to the island, to read up on the subject B, having success with shared consciousness and the drugs.
Okay, can you give me... So as you go back into the sort of medicine room where the filing cabinet is, that had all the files in, can you just give me a quick spot roll?
Quick spot roll. Candy. Spot hidden. Versus 60. 50! 2 for 2! That's the best
day ever! Oh, shit!
Okay.
Holy shit.
On a high shelf...
I'm going to ring my mum. Sorry, go on.
On a high shelf, possibly missed before, you see in the flickering night light of the... of Finn Anders's electric light, there is an old-fashioned oil lamp. It has the, you know, the kind of glass bowl, a wick, and when you pick it up, the sort of china or porcelain bowl is filled with oil. So it's like got a container filled with oil and the lamp above.
Spencer, would you do me the honor of lighting this, as I have my torch broke when I fell overboard?
Yeah, sure. And I kind of pull it off the shelf and stick my lighter inside and light the lamp.
So the room fills with a kind of oily black smoke, which then disappears off as the oil catches rather than the wick, and you are left in a warm glow. Okay, so...
settle down for the night reading.
Johnny Huck starts going through the files. There's a lot of them, and we'll do library re-rolls in a minute. Let's Oz, what are you doing? You're kind of having a breakdown. Spencer and Finn, what do you guys want to do?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I should go check out that fire that's over there, because, you know, no one's really mentioned it.
Okay, yeah. In that case, I sort of grab Oz by the arm and just sort of start dragging him towards the, as I remember, some of the basement cells is where Bartholomew's being held.
So you're dragging me to the basement. Okay.
Hey, do you want to find out what this thing's about? Let's go find this other, our bot and your bot, and then we'll sort this thing out.
Can I roll to just, like, shrug him off and then run off into the darkness of the hallway?
Yeah, definitely. So, can we have...
I'm not trying to keep hold of him. I'm not, like, dragging him forcefully. I'm just sort of guiding him. So if he ducks off, I'm not prepared for that.
Okay. Bartholomew, or Oz, disappears into the darkness of the asylum. Johnny Huck is sat peacefully in the... I suppose peacefully, maybe studiously might be a better word, in the medicine room, and you're left in the corridor. You notice that there is a key in the lock of the door, so you could lock it behind you.
Okay. Spencer, I ain't going to this basement alone, and we need to find Bart, so let's give the key to this little reporter monkey. Let him lock himself in the room and let's go find Bart. Just fire off in the woods. You don't want to be walking off into the woods in the middle of the night, in the dark, in the rain, when there's screaming happening. Come on.
Well, I don't know. I don't want to be stuck here with a bunch of nutters and you know, the people that used to be in the asylum. Okay, so this is what we do. I'll come down with you then. Just, you know, make sure there's two of us. Fire can wait. And we'll see what we can find down there. If Bartholomew is somewhere, apparently, you know, because this guy reckons he's in, we'll find him.
Okay, so let's start with Owen. So we can start with Johnny Huck's character. Can you give me, maybe give me another spot hidden roll? I mean, with 12 sanity, you may not have even realized that the other three characters have left. So give me a spot hidden roll to start with.
Okay. So versus 68 even. Excuse me. Back to normal service.
Okay, so you do notice that the other... Oh, sorry, did you just fail?
Yes.
Okay, so you have no idea that the other three characters have left. You start making your way through the files. You think maybe about a quarter of them are actually the staff files. The rest of them are all patient files. The ones at the front are much thicker, and they are sort of labelled with a thick red label that says special patients.
A thick red label with special patients, I'll take that one.
Okay.
So we're down for tonight.
I think you've already kind of gone through some of these before. There's a few different names. The first one is Bartholomew Ormond. The one underneath it says Darlene, and no surname at all.
I'm reading that because... If I knew who Madonna was, I got some of one name is definitely more important than regular mode.
Okay, can you give me a library use roll?
Library use. So, I've basically finished with Bartholomew's book. I close it up carefully, put it back in its place. Finger running across the books, notice. Darlene, pull it out, and decide to start reading it. 16 versus 50. Get in.
Nice. Okay, so it's hard to read. Dr. Brewer's hand is not a good one. I mean, you all know the kind of archetype of doctor's handwriting. This is worse, and he obviously kind of likes to make notes in the margins and maybe pick it up at different times. But with your role and your skills, you're very good at taking it apart. So it reads, she was originally brought to the state home brought to a state home by police who had found her wandering naked in downtown Boston alley. Repeated attempts over the years have failed to identify her, and her last name is still unknown. She is now probably in her early 20s, although she looks like a teenager. Traditional therapies seemed incapable of reaching her, but under hypnosis, or the influence of compound drugs listed below, and then in the margin, there's a list of the drugs that he used, turning around.
Laudanum.
No, not laudanum. These are all kind of like chemistry compounds. Like, I'm not even going to try and name them, but you know, they're like capital letters followed by like HA24.
LSD.
Yeah. So it even comes up with exactly where they're located, if you can figure out his filing system. So traditional therapy.
Drugs are physically located in this building.
In this building, probably in the room you're in.
Oh, fantastic.
Traditional therapy seemed incapable of reaching her, but under hypnosis or the influence of the compound drugs listed below, she seemed to open up. Repeated treatments brought forth what we first thought to be Darlene. But under questioning, the individual claimed to be a woman named Fanny and that she'd lived in Ireland. Oddly enough, she also claimed that the year was 1662, and she seemed to have an unusual amount of knowledge about this era.
Are you continuing the F names from Ireland, out of curiosity?
No, not at all. Maybe.
Fanula.
Over the course of treatments, even more personalities emerged, and at last count, the list numbered 27, although some of these have appeared only once and have never been reached again. The oldest, and perhaps the most interesting, personality was named Anephis, who, if she's to be believed, is a princess of Egypt who has been dead for over 3,000 years. When in this personality, Darlene has exhibited a startling knowledge of Egyptian history, including a number of facts that I have been unable to verify by any amount of research. Perhaps the most mystifying was Darlene's prediction of the finding of King Tutankhamun's tomb. She made this prediction after reading the newspaper of the expedition's plans to explore the area.
So this lady is, judging by what I've read there, it says, obviously, 27 personalities, a lot of them haven't been reached more than once, but I'm assuming, obviously, Epinephis has been reached a few times, where she's had time to read the newspaper and peruse it over.
So this seems to be one of the dominant personalities, and flicking through the file as you kind of go, you find a small photograph, and it matches the girl that you saw in the library earlier on today.
With no eyes?
No, she was the young girl who you tried who Finn tried to capture, and you kind of escaped. She was reading Dante's Inferno, illustrated version, and then ran off into the asylum. There's a little bit more. Okay. It says, much of the odd mythology that Anephis speaks of brings to mind the possessions experienced by patient B and seems to be hinted at in the occasional ravings of Hawkins. This possibly indicates a root mythic form common to all men and would go a long way forward to supporting my theory of the collective unconsciousness mind. Finn and Aaron, Finn and Spencer, sorry. Did you guys lock the door or just close it behind you?
I sort of gave the key to... and told him to lock it behind him.
So, Huck, with your sort of failed spot hidden roll, you probably haven't realised they've left, so maybe you've got the key, but the door isn't locked.
Oh, sweet. That's not
there. Okay, so with the door not firmly locked behind you, the two of you retrace your steps back to the entrance lobby, the faint light from Finn's torch cutting through the gloom of the asylum, a thin beam of iridescence against the ever-encroaching darkness. You reach the lobby, and you see a small doorway under the stairs which must lead to the basement.
So I go and I open the door and just sort of peer in.
The door appears locked, and it it is a heavily reinforced door.
Ah, this is great. We're going to have to, like, go outside and find something to beat this down with.
Well, we could always use your head. That's big and thick enough. I smile a little bit at Anders and go, all right, come on then, let's take a look to see if we can find anything.
Gotta say, you're more the size of a battering ram.
Okay, in your previous kind of explorations of downstairs, you do remember there was a way out. So maybe creeping through the wood paneled dining room to the north, you lead into a well supplied and modern looking kitchen. You encounter no one, no sign of any escaped inmates lurking in the shadows. However, on entering the kitchen, you see a large metal cabinet. Its doors open, revealing a large array of knives, their edges honed to razor's edge. There's, other cooking utensils as well. A few are scattered across the floor. There is a spatula. There is a side door open as well, which is banging in the Arctic November wind. The storm outside is raging, and in the distance, beyond the sanatorium's high walls, you hear the trees bending and moaning as their limbs are torn by the storm, their remaining autumnal leaves becoming ammunition for the waking gale.
Jeez, that wind's really picked up out there.
Yeah, making almost as much wind as you.
I kind of ignore the comment and just carry on walking through the kitchen, and I poke my head out the back door and kind of look around outside.
Okay, can you give me a spot hidden roll, guys? You can have plus 10.
Plus 10? Wow.
Wow, pluses. Wow.
For me, that's...
That's an instant win. He's at like 90 anyway.
Success. I got a 47 against 70.
Fantastic. And Spencer?
And... Yep, I roll 32.
Versus 95 with his plus 10.
85, I have.
Okay. So with the...
Your plus 10 isn't permanent, though, is it?
Oh, God, no. So with your plus 10, you see that to the right, sort of round the side of the asylum, you see that there are a number of low buildings. Hard to tell exactly what they are. Maybe staff lodgings, maybe, store sheds, maybe a generator room. It's hard to say. Straight ahead of you, there is a high stone wall with a door set into it, and you can see that the door's open. Somewhere beyond the door, there is like a red glow. And you're not sure if it's the wailing storm or whether you hear another scream from the distance.
Okay, having cleared my firearm, I sort of advance towards the door, flashing the light around me quite cautiously advancing.
So the kitchen door or the door in the wall of the set? Do you want to go right out into the door?
Yeah, out of the door into the strange door we've just spotted. Okay.
How light is it?
So it is. It's probably evening now. So the only light is coming from there's a distant glow, and then the raging storm itself, the occasional flashes of thunder.
Right. So it's pretty
yeah,
dark,
the only yeah. light is really your lighter is not going to work. The only light is Finn's electric torch.
Okay. Well, if he's going off with the light, then I suppose I'm going to stick fairly close behind him then.
Okay. The broiling clouds above you ooze and billow across the charcoal sky. A jagged bolt of lightning rips the night asunder, and you begin to run, wincing as each icy raindrop strikes your skin. Thunder rolls across the stricken heavens, seeming to crack the world in half, as if the fury of the nightmarish elder gods, trapped in their fitful dreaming reverie of maddening sweet sleep, has escaped through the firmament and is lashing at this lonely island. To your right, you see the low cluster of buildings. Staff rest houses, buildings, maybe outbuildings, maybe, you're not sure. Ahead, set into the high bone-white wall surrounding the asylum, a strong iron gate swings innocently in the wind, unlocked and free to everyone, a dark, gaping mouth leading to the island and beyond. And in the far distance, maybe 2 miles away, you think you can make out the tip of a lighthouse, a dim, blood-red glow flickering against the storm-rent night sky.
Do you think there's anyone in that lighthouse?
Well, there ought to be someone.
There is a glow to it, like it's glowing red. It's really odd.
Right, so not
that's
like
not normal.
Lighthouse.
No, light. Not at all. The lighthouse itself is dark, but like the where you'd normally see like a huge beam of luminescence, all there is this like really sickly blood red glow. It's almost like you know, the Eye of Mordor is glazing at you. Not quite that orange and vivid, but like there is there's something quite odd about it.
Okay, from where we're standing now, do we see any evidence of the fire that was off in the upper window?
So beyond the door, the encroaching forest provides some shelter from the howling storm. And in the lee of the sort of boughs beneath the ancient trees, a thin gravel road snakes probably just wide enough for an actual automobile to pass. And looking down, you do see tire tracks. So somewhere on the island, someone's brought a car here. To your left, the road turns to the north, possibly heading towards the lighthouse itself. And to your right, the road runs east in the direction of the fire you spied. You could probably make a quicker route through the forest. There is a dull glow in that direction, possibly from a fire.
Okay. Have we heard any screams since...
The kind of wailing storm is making it hard to tell, possibly.
Spencer, I don't want to stay out in this much longer, but I don't know what to do here.
This weather's pretty diabolical. We should probably move on and get out the worst of this storm. That lighthouse looks too... it looks sinister. I don't know if I want to go over there. What do you think?
There might be someone there, some radio equipment or something.
Alright, I guess we can check it out, but just be on guard. This place is full of crazies at the moment.
On guard. Two people have already come in with knives. Yeah, I'm just going to put my gun away, get rid of my kosh and my knife, and just sort of stroll around with my head in the clouds.
Okay, guys, can you give me a quick spot hidden roll before we kind of skip over to Curran?
Have we still got plus 10?
No, it was plus 10 because it was outbuildings you were spotting.
Success.
Well, success. Fantastic. Anyway.
Okay.
19, that's hard success.
To your left, in the shelter of the wall, you spy the aforementioned automobile. It's covered with a very, very... expensive looking rain cover, you know, the kind of things they have across cars. It's probably got a special name, I don't know. And when you pull it aside, there is an extremely expensive coupe there.
Well, this has got to be our good doctor's car.
Hey, very nice.
I wonder how much you'd get for one of these. This is in pretty good condition.
To steal a dead man's car.
Surely you know the price of all cars at this point, Spencer. You've bought so many. It's 1920s. There only is like 3 models. You own all of them.
Well, this will get us to that lighthouse a lot faster.
I've still got mine.
And sort of duck in and get the crank out and start trying to crank the engine into life.
So, Curran's character, Oz, would you have left the room right back into the lobby, or would you have gone left into the asylum further?
Left into the asylum further, and I'm going to say I'm kind of like, I was sprinting at first, but now I've slowed down, I'm slightly out of breath, and I'm just trying to figure things out.
So, can you see the map? Okay.
Yes.
You begin to pound through the asylum, your feet echoing heavily on the floor. You pass a door to your right saying toilet, another saying bathroom. You reach another one on your left that has the words electroshock therapy clearly emblazoned on the brass plaque of the door. To your right, a staircase leads down into darkness.
Well, I can't. Well, if they're looking for Bart, and I'm Bart, but... Well, I'm Oz, but I could be... I don't know. I have to find myself, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and choose the stairwell into the basement.
Okay. As you begin to... you're actually on the first floor or the... Okay. As you begin to make your way down, the much smaller staircase, this is probably more aimed at staff rather than the guests visiting, you hear a sound. Can you make a listen roll, please?
Okay. I am actually talking to myself so they could listen to me.
Brilliant.
Just saying as a reference. Listen roll, here we go. Not very good. I failed with a colossal 90 against 40.
Okay. You reach the bottom of the stairs before you find the person. It is an elderly woman dressed in a shapeless shawl, sobbing at the bottom of the stairs.
Oh, my son Robert wouldn't have shouted at me like that. No, he wouldn't. My son Robert. Oh, no, he wouldn't.
And she's like sobbing onto the floor.
Is she holding something?
No, she's got nothing near her. Nothing in her hands, no knife, no nothing. Although you do see that there is a large, what are those called? Like a trolley? Like, you know, that holds food and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like a hostess trolley. And it's piled with like hot drinks. There's like loads of cups. There's a coffee. Sorry, my brain's not working at all.
How drunk are you?
So it's like a tea lady tray.
There's coffee and there's tea. And this, it has obviously been made recently, and the smell of freshly brewed coffee is an anathema to your madness.
Oh, and she sort of looks up and sees you. Oh, hi there. You look just like my son, Robert. Oh, he was such a gentleman. would you help me take this trolley down to the guests? I need to distribute their hot drinks to the guests here.
I do have I've been sent here actually by Robert, and he told me that I should go see Bartholomew Ormond. You wouldn't happen to know where he is?
Oh yes, I do. Oh, what a delightful man! You look just like him, you know. I think you've got his eyes.
Can you make a sanity check?
Don't say that. I will destroy you, woman. Anyway, here we go. And I fail.
First is 19. Okay, you lose one sanity. So you're down to 18 sanity.
Oh, my dear. How about I fix you a hot drink? You look soaking wet.
You did actually change your clothes, didn't you? I think everyone did. Oh, no, you didn't. You didn't have clothes.
No, I didn't have clothes.
You're soaking wet. Here, take this warm drink. It'll make you feel so much better.
And she goes over to the pot and begins to pour. And the smell is really good. Like, it's really good coffee.
Mm-hmm. I want. So I'm going to make it extra strong,
milk,
please.
Or cream, young sir?
Both.
And she pours it for you and begins to... make a really nice cup of coffee and hands it over to you.
And where did you say you wanted to go? Did you say you wanted to see young Bartholomew? Oh, such a nice man.
Yes, it was Robert, your son Robert. He's told me that I should go speak with Bartholomew Ormond immediately.
I'll take you there. We don't want to go this way, though. No, the laundry room's quite a mess. Come follow me. It's this way. And she begins to kind of like lead you down the corridor.
Okay, so if it's okay, can we skip back to Owen's character?
So I pulled down Leonard Hawkins' file to see if there's any more information on... The last thing you said there was... There's two... I may have picked it up wrong, because it was kind of... There was a lot of big words in it. But there's a thing about... Obviously, Darlene had great success with the drugs and hypnotherapy. But Hawkins had some success with it?
So, basically, Darlene has managed to bring forth all these different characters. I think 27 different... Yeah, perfect. 27 different personalities. The one that was most interesting was this sort of ancient Egyptian princess. And she's predicted things about Egypt that hadn't happened until, you know, like the discovering of Tutankhamun. He then said that what's happened with her is similar to the two characters, Patient B and Leonard Hawkins.
Oh, similar to Patient B. I thought it was that she is Patient B.
No, similar to Patient B and Hawkins. I think we've established already in the previous podcast that Patient B is Bartholomew Ormond.
I remember that.
Okay, so as you're flicking through, so you find Bartholomew's file and you find Leonard Hawkins' file. Another file, not a special patient, catches your eye. It's the picture on the front is the old lady that, as you've kind of met before, Blanche, the woman who keeps on going on about Robert, and her file is there plainly for you to see.
I'll take that down and read it. I know Leonard is dead.
It's a
probably more interesting.
So it's a different hand. No library use needed. Whoever wrote this, maybe one of the nurses, is much, much more able. So her name is Blanche Goddard Richmond. She's a housewife. The description of her is docile, helpful, well-spoken, talks incessantly about her children, Robert and Sally. It then says that she can be trusted to roam the hospital and grounds with minimal supervision. Loves to play the role of hostess and frequently supplies the staff and inmates with refreshment. And then it says, and this is a different hand, and this is going back to the doctor's hand, so brewer's hand. Can you give me a library use?
I will indeed. So that's stereotypical, like, doctor signature, actually.
Yeah. So the nurse says, although she can become paranoid and agitated, refer to incident January 24th, 1922. So to find that...
I got 73 versus 50, but I'd happily spend 23 luck to find out what
No, it just means it's going to take you longer. So it means that you kind of go through it for quite a long time, can't find this incident. Can you give me another library use to see if you can find this incident if you want to carry on looking for it?
Indeed. 48 versus 50.
Fantastic. So in Dr. Brewer's messy and unkempt hand, it says January the 24th, 1922. Blanche Goddard Richmond, a kind and pleasant woman, well-spoken, excellent breeding, contrasts greatly with her reason for indefinite confinement. She became agitated during her first therapy session, in which Dr. Caffney repeatedly forced her to engage with her crimes. The drugging and brutal drowning of her two children, Robert and Sally. After this session, she became withdrawn. During that night, she drugged Dr. Caffney, lured him into the patient bathroom, and if it wasn't for the timely intervention of Nurse Johnson, Dr. C would have been drowned. Just like her son and daughter. As it is, he still received third-degree burns from the water and has resigned his post. And at this minute, can we skip back to Curran?
We most certainly can.
Okay, we are now in the basement. Okay, the basement is dark and foreboding. The steps steep, although the floor itself is expensive-looking tiles. She leads you down and down, and you hear somewhere in the distance the sound of running water. Can you make me a dex check as your vision begins to blur?
I have a hard success with a 27 against... 60.
Okay, despite the success, you still vomit all over the floor, but manage to keep your feet.
Oh, there, Robert. Just come with me. I've got a nice bath running for you. Just come along with me, Robert.
You're beginning to feel really sick and really woozy and really unstable.
I'm going to follow her. Oh. Where are we going?
Oh, Robert.
You should bang her.
Robert, you shouldn't have married that young lady. You shouldn't have left me alone. I'll show you what a nice mother can do for you.
I do miss when we used to share one bed, Mother.
Okay, you pass a door on your left, which says Nurse Johnson in large letters. You pass another door on your right, door on your left. The one on your right says Patient D. The door on your left says Patient B. But she leads you straight through them, and she's like taking you by the arm and leading you now, and you're feeling really kind of sick and woozy towards the end of the corridor. She opens the door. The room is filled with steam, like it's crazy, crazy hot in there. It's like a steam room. Mm-hmm. And she begins to lead you towards the boiling hot bath.
I'm gonna grab her.
Couldn't comprehend what
burns you. I'm gonna say I'm gonna grab her and I'm gonna just dunk her head in the boiling water.
Robin, what are you doing, Robin? Boys need to be punished.
Die, you filthy bitch!
You leave their mothers.
Oh, Jesus.
Need to be punished.
So it's a brawl roll, is it?
It is, yeah. Pose brawl roll, please.
Did fail. I failed. Okay. 34 against 25.
Okay, she fails as well with a 42.
in the water.
So basically, you're like trying to. Nothing happens, but you're basically fighting back and forth. The room is getting slipperier and slipperier. Can you give me another brawl roll, please?
Oh, success! 24! 25! Fuck, you're okay. Curse on.
47. Right, she is in the water. She begins to scream, Robin! As she disappears in the heaving water.
What, is she a fucking witch or something?
It's boiling water! Like, her hand appears, and it's like there's no skin on it, and it's just completely red.
And while I'm holding her down, I'm into the water.
Does it flip the bird?
I'm going to push her head into the water, and while that's happening, I'm just like, shh, 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 shh. It's okay.
My son Robert, you're a maniac.
It's okay, Robert will comfort you. Just stay. Shh.
Okay, gradually the kicking subsides and she completely stops moving.
Can I have a sanity check?
Pull back your hands with so you take a point of damage to each hand, and can you make a sanity roll?
So, sanity roll, and I am now taking my first damage of the sanatorium. I'm on 8 out of 10. So, I failed my sanity roll.
Okay, you need to take, I think for the sort of brutal murder of this old woman, you're going to take 5 points of sanity.
Okay, so it's mania time.
So, Hammett, what's your total sanity now?
It's going down to 13 and should be changed on stream with a handy display.
So you've just passed another, so every fifth of sanity you pass, you have a chance of a bout of madness. Can you make an intelligence check test?
He also lost more than 5 in one go. Just 2 mania.
No, it doesn't work like that. So it's either or. It doesn't. They're not cumulative. So can you do me an intelligence check if you can understand how terrible it is that you've just drowned this woman?
I do.
In boiling water.
Not only do I understand it, I understand it very well. Hard success.
Okay. Can you give me a d10 roll to find out exactly what happens?
D10. Activate. And I've rolled an 8 out of 10.
With your 8, you have rolled a physical hysterics or emotional outburst. You have a choice of being incapacitated with laughing, crying, or screaming.
Incapacitated?
Do I have to be incapacitated? Can I not just run around looking for more people to kill while laughing hysterically?
So you're incapacitated for 1d10 rounds with screaming, laughing, or I guess we could add crying into there, maybe?
So sobbing, that's a d10, screaming. I got 5, that's 5 rounds. I am going to just be laying in the corner going...
Before we go, I want to say a huge thank you to BattleBards. They make premium audio for all of your tabletop needs, and you can find them at battlebards.com. I also want to say a huge thank you to our Patreons. They have supported the show and keep us going. Thanks very much, guys. And if you want to learn more about our Patreon system, find out at our website, howwerollpodcast.com. See you next week.